Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Good evening and praise the Lord. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted this evening to be back on our live broadcast for the study of the Word of God. I just give God all the praise and all the glory. I magnify his holy name today. God is such a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. I just thank and praise God today. We're going to get ready to hear, have a song. We're going to have a short devotion, and then we're going to have a song. I just thank and praise God for this opportunity on tonight.
Why is it your grocery order arrived the second you remember everything you forgot to order? Like, without fail.
Who drank all the milk?
Fresh groceries and more. Unlimited free delivery, Walmart Plus.
Better equal. Connected to iPhone 3.
Share my story with you. All the things that he brought me through. Stormy days and my rainy days. You don't know all the tears I've cried. Things I've kept bottled up inside, trying my best to be strong, waiting on God and holding on. You don't know what I had to endure, and you wonder why I'm so sure. Cause my father never let me down. He's always around, even when I can't see. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You don't know how many times I prayed all falling over, but my situation did change. Never changed, but just when I felt like it was it, you came and you did it again. You did it again, and you did it again. Oh, I know you got a story too. How God stepped in and made a way for you. He finds every one of your tears. And he's the reason you're still here. You don't know. Tell somebody you just don't know.
Come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I just come just confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, we come right now, God, before you, Lord. Lord, asking you to let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, God. Lord, I ask you to open up our minds and our thoughts, every thought, God. Hallelujah. I ask you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, to feed us tonight from this word, God, and that we may receive it, hallelujah, in our hearts. Let us apply it to our lives on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you right now for this word, God. It's already blessed. It's already pure. It's already fire. I just thank you for it tonight, God, because we know that your word can do everything and anything, God, for us. It is possible for us to feed off of this word and get just what we need in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down into green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, and they comfort me. Thou prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Though thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, I just thank you for the reading of the word. Lord, I ask you to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight, Father. Move me from myself. I surrender my will. I surrender my way. Holy Spirit of God, take over and take control. Father, we thank you now. We ask you all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. Hallelujah. I know it was different tonight, for I asked the Holy Ghost to do what it's going to do on tonight and take over on tonight. So it was a little different. We're going to get ready to hear the word of God. Amen.
Amen. 1 Chronicles 10. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons. And the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, Malchishua, Saul's sons. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. And then his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead. He also fell on his sword and died. So Saul and his three sons died, and all his house died together. And when all of the men of Israel who were in the valley saw that they had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. Then the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So it happened the next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. And they stripped him and took his head and his armor and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim the news in the temple of their idols and among people. Then they put his armor in the temple of their gods and fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. When all Jabesh Gilead heard all that the Philistines had done to Saul, and all the valiant men arose and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons and brought them to Jabesh and buried their bones, tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse, the word of the Lord.
Amen, amen. Chapter 11. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, thou wast he that leadest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king of Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jabez, where the Jebusites were the inhabitants of the land. And the inhabitants of Jabez said to David, thou shalt not come hither. Nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. And David said, whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went first up and was chief. And David dwelt in the castle. Therefore, they called it the city of David. And he built the city round and about, even from Billo round and about. And Joab repaired the rest of the city. So David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had: Jashobeam and Hashabmonite, the chief of the captains. He lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, and Ahohite, who was one of the three mightiest. He was with David at
Pasadena, and their saints were gathered together to battle. Battle where was a parcel of ground full of barley, and the people fled from before the Philistines, and they set themselves in the midst of their parcel and delivered it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by the greater deliverance. Now 3 of 30 captains went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David said, David was then in the hole, and the Philistines garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate. And the three break through the host of Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord and said, my God, forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives, they brought it. Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mightiest in and Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was chief of the three, for lifting up his spear against 300, he slew them and had a name among the three. And of the three, he was more honorable than the two, for he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not to the first three. Benani, the son of Joadab, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also, he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day, and he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubic feet high. In the Egyptian's hand was a sword like a weaver's beam, and he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benani, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mightiest. Behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three. David set him over his guard. So the valiant men of the armies were Asahel, the brother of Joab, Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shemoth, the Hamorite, Hararite, Heles, the Pelonite, Ira, the son of Akish, the Tikonite, the Tikot, Abizar, Radite, Sebeka, the Hushathite, Eliad, the Ahoahite, Mahora, the Nephthite, Heled, the son of Benin, the Netophithite, Ithathite, the son of Ribia of Gibeon, that pertained to the children of Benjamin, Benonite, the Pirate, the night, Hiria of the brooks of Gash, Abel, the Abathite, Abamavite, the Baramite. Hello? We're reading, trying to, Eliba, the Shelabonite, the son of Hashem, the Gizanite, Jonathan, the son of Shaga, the Hararite, Aham, the son of Skar, the Hirite, Elphalah, the son of Ur, Hefer, the Makrathite, Ahijah, the Pelonite, Hezro, the Carmelite, Naria, the son of Izbiah, Joel, the brother of Nathan, Marbhar, the son of Agra, Zelet, the Ammonite, Nahara, the Berenhite, the armor bearer of Joab, the son of Zariah, Ira, the Hittite, Athrite, Jerob, the Ithrite, Uriah, the Hittite, Zabad, the son of Ahila, Edina, the son of Shaziah, the Reubenite, a captain of the Reubenites, and 30 with him, Hanan, the son of Makai, and Josaphat, the Midnite, Uzziah, the Ashurite, Shema, the Jehiel, the son of Hothan, the Hararite, Jediel, the son of Shemara, and Johai, his brother, the Tizite, Eliel, the Mahavite, and Jeremiah, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Eliam, and Itha, and the Moabite, Eliam, and Obed, and Jaseel, the Moshebite. The word of God for the people of God. That was a lot of different tribes right there. Well, it's the genealogy. Okay, let's answer these questions because I just got to talking and because I want to listen for all of that. But, you know, that's what we're in. Okay, we're in chapter 10. How was Saul and his son killed?
I saw two different things, so I wasn't sure whether he was killed by the archers or when he fell on the sword himself. In verse 5.
Oh. Well, I mean,
at verse 3, it says the battle became fierce when he was in the battle, and the archers hit him, and he was wounded. When they, he was wounded, and
he was
also
he was wounded, and he tried to get his armor bearer to kill him, but he really fell on that sword itself.
Okay.
He did. What did the Philistine do with the bodies of Saul and his son?
They took the armor and they took
to be
the
nine,
body.
Ain't it? Verse 9.
They took it to the temple of worship and chopped Saul's head out and mounted it.
They sure did. Let me just read it. And when they had stripped him, they took his head and his armor, sent into the land of the Philistines, rounding about to carry tidings and to their idols, and to the people. Lord, have mercy. Chapter 11. To what people did the city of Jerusalem originally belong? What city? Let me see.
Jebus.
I'm trying to see
what
is that? I wasn't sure. It's Jebus. Yeah, it's Jabez.
Okay.
I was trying to find the verse. I think it's verse 5, isn't it? Wait a minute.
It's verse 4.
Yeah. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jabez, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. How many of David's men were the most known among his 30 renowned fighting men? How many of it was it? You know, I think I read that at the last, and it was saying it was just three of them. I know one. It was just three of them. I was reading that at the last part, but we just want to discuss this now. You know, over here, it seemed like it takes you back to First Kings, back that way, where David was in there, him and Saul fighting. You know, they was fighting the Philistines. And we read about that over in 1 Kings. I think it was a Samuel or the end of Samuel, 1 Kings. And how they fought against, the Philistines fought against Israel. And then, but, you know, I think Saul was still mad with David at that time. And, but I really hated that Jonathan had to go fight with Saul, because him and David was really, really, really close. They had just such a deep connection back then. But he had to be with his family. He had to fight with his dad. That's what he really did. He had to, and that's how he got killed, fighting with his dad, because once his dad fell on that sword, I think one of them Philistines, I think he got Jonathan too. And David, you know, that just cut his heart in two pieces, because him and Jonathan was so close. But I think at that time, I really don't think, I knew God had already moved Saul from being king. At that time that he died, God had already placed David in that office. David was just trying to respect Saul and not move into the office at that time. But he could have. It probably would have been a bigger fight. But they was trying to save Jerusalem. They was trying to save Israel. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, Apostle, what you were saying when God had gave the throne over to David, I think it was when he kept pleading to Saul, and Saul refusing him to pray for him, and then that's when he grabbed hold of Saul's robe and tore it, and he said, this day, the kingdom has been given over to David.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. It just kind of make me think of the presidents of today when I start going back through these kings. Because these kings, all of these kings was good kings and bad kings. It was more bad than good. Mm-hmm. When you read back in this Old Testament, every time you look up, it'll say, you know, we have a king so-and-so, and he did evil in God's sight. And he didn't last but a few years. And then it's another king. Come on, it just remind me of the presidents of today. It just, because that's all it is. They ain't changing no kings right now. They changing presidents. That's the way I get this. That's how I get it on today's level. Because if you don't do things, you doing evil in God's sight. A lot of these presidents, even as kings, to me.
Mm-hmm.
So the God, for what he was doing to David and stuff, Nathan told Saul that his whole household was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to look it up because I'm not really for sure. Let me see. I don't have no references in there. Let me see. Verse 10, verse 6. There's no reference right there either. But it was in Samuel. It was in Samuel. Let me see. I'm trying to see where it was in Samuel. I think around about the 15th or the 16th, because I don't have any references on it. Let me see. Because he was doing David so bad, and God was trying to stop him because he was gone. Wait a minute. Come on, what's the 15, 16? Okay, the choice of David to be king, but Saul's incomplete obedience. Saul also said, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king. That was in Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the word of God. But over here in chapter 16, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning? God rejected him right in the next chapter. Mm-hmm. He rejected him right in the next chapter. And that's why I'm saying he the only one can take a preacher up, put one up, and take another one down. That's
exactly
how God does it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what
and
I
so,
wanted to say on that. Mm-hmm. Apostle, you're absolutely right, because that's what I was going to say, you know, why you were talking. That's what God does. He raises up. He raises up who you want to raise up and pour down who he wants to pour down. And just like Saul was pulled down because he tends to forget where he came from. He tends to forget who raised him up in that position. And he got pride.
Right.
You know, so he had to leave.
Right. And then he was doing evil. He did something. He was disobedient to the Lord, what God told him not to do. And he just had something against David anyway, because he thought David. But it's just like the devil. It really just had me really kind of thinking about how every time he get upset and mad, he need David to calm that demon, that's the evil spirit down that was in him. He needed that prophetic music, that harp that David was playing to come. But
right there, that moment where you were saying he needed David to calm him down, and I just take that as today, how you can be a blessing to someone, and then they'll turn around and turn it against you. You know,
yeah.
You have those, you know, you've been there for them, and then the jealousy, because that's what turns them against you, because they start seeing what
right.
God is doing in you, and they get jealous, and they get competitiveness, And
that's
then
right.
They turn again to where they were, once blessing you and was saying, oh, I love you and you've just been a blessing in my life. And then they turn around and then they're cursing you.
Right.
I think that was the thing with Saul. You know, because Saul knew Samuel already prophesied to him that God was taking the kingdom away from him. Where when he first met David, he didn't know. David was a little boy. David saved the Israelites from, you know, Goliath. And he was praising David for that. And then he was in love with David. He wouldn't even let David go back to his home.
Right.
But when he found out David was the chosen one, you know, that jealousy, that prideful, everything that tore the kingdom away from him was given to David. And that evil spirit in him that had turned against, you know, David.
He
was disobedient to God because he started thinking he was God, you know, started doing what he wanted to do and not exactly doing what God told you to do. You know, what God told
him. Right.
He have did things.
He did. Mm-hmm. He sure did. And over in chapter 13, it says the self-will of Saul. You know, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel. Now, on down it says, Saul intrudes into the priest's office. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time of Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and a peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? See, this way you're going to get in trouble. And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me and that thou comest not within the days appointed and that the Philistines gathered themselves together in Mishmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal into Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, and the people that were present with them, abode in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Mishmash, and the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned into the way that led it to Ophrah, unto the land of Shur. So the thing is, they were surrounding Saul. Because that's why Samuel got out the way. Because he knew that, I don't know who told Saul this, but somebody told him nobody in his home, household, in his family would live. And nobody did but one of his sons. That was the baby son that was crippled. And when David found out that he was alive, he got him and brought him to his house. It says, now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, at least the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his spear and his cutler and his axe and mattocks. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the cutler and for the forks and the axes and to sharpen the guards, the goats. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hands of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. So the people kept all of their stuff. And the garrisons of the Philistines went out to the path of Michmash. So that's telling us when they took their stuff to the Philistines, why would they take their stuff to the Philistines to get it sharpened? I don't understand that. But even on 14, it says Jonathan's greatest victory there. So the thing is, God put one king up and he take one down. When you don't be obedient to what God tell you to do, I don't care what leader you are, even now we can repent. But if we go back to keep doing it, he going to give us over to a reprobate mind. He just may as well have did it to Saul, because he started doing all crazy stuff. He went to that witch and had her to call Saul up from the dead. Samuel up from the dead. And Samuel was upset about it. Who is it that's calling me back in this place? He came. And that witch, she was like, I didn't know it was you. So Saul had got her to call, got her to call Samuel back from the dead. Why? Because he thought Samuel had some kind of a magic or whatever, he could talk to God for him. That wasn't right. And so she was scared that she was going to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's things like this that we have to watch out for, because let me tell you something. It's a lot of people out here that a lot of leaders, I'm not talking about just people. A lot of leaders are not following what God said. Do just like Samuel. Just like Saul, you know, but I felt like he should have repented because he had to really do something bad. For mm-hmm. He did evil in God's sight for God to remove him and to put David. But I felt like it was David all the time that should have been in the spot. I just felt like that. But if God would, because the people kept saying they wanted somebody. So that's why he got Saul right. In the first place, because he thought he was going to be the king over the people. But then they kept saying they wanted a king. And you know, the right. Father was saying, I am the king. But mm-hmm. they kept on harping and they kept on talking until the father said, okay, I'm going to be the one to pick him. So Saul was standing so many feet over the rest of the men. He was tall in stature. He was standing tall over everybody else. So, and he was a good man. He was a good person at the time. But that's what I tell you. People change. When you change your status, you change. You just change. Because you think, I'm a little higher than I was. I'm a little more than I was. You can get a new dress and think you're more. Or you can get a new hat. Or you can get a new house or car and think you're above somebody else. Mm-hmm. And this is how I was. So we have any questions or comments?
Yeah, I wanted to just interact on what you were saying. You know, the people of Israel, they were looking at the foreigners around them, and they wanted to be like them. Instead of them choosing God as their king, they wanted
mm-hmm.
to be idol worshipers like, you know, they're foreign, you know, they're their neighbors. So that's why they kept crying out and saying, we want a king, but say, you know, but you already had a king. And it was God.
Right.
So God gave them what they wanted. Okay, you want a king, I'm going to give you a king. And then they made
right.
God let them see how their king, what they wanted was for them. So he ended up choosing another person who was going to be his choice anyway. God already knew
right.
that he already had his choice, and he was just giving them what they wanted. And that's what God does with us sometimes. He'll give us what we want, and then we screw up and we find out, oh, we don't want it. Then God intercedes and come in,
mm-hmm.
and he put in place what he wanted us to have all along. And before I forget, Apostle, going back to where you was talking about how God raises up and pulls down once you're not following and in the midst of it, you was doing so much wickedness. I go back to, you know, the king, and it was like all kings didn't get their heads cut off. And then I look at David when he fought Philistine, you know, the Goliath. He was a Philistine, and he took his sword
mm-hmm.
and he chopped. Well, actually, he took Goliath's own sword and cut his head out. And I was wondering, why do they cut out certain people's heads? And I'm thinking, is it because that is a reference of this is the end of their reign in their bloodline? And I just think about Saul. You know how they took his head, they cut his head off, and they mounted it and did parade it around so people could see, like, the victory. We got the victory, and they placed it in the temple, saying this is the end
mm-hmm.
of his reign.
Mm.
So I was just wondering, is that kind of, you know, maybe that's why, you know, certain people get their heads cut off, you know, and mounted like this, saying this is the end of their bloodline of reigning as royalty?
I don't know about that because, well, I don't know. Let me see. Because they cut John the Baptist's head off.
Because look at, you know, look at Saul. You know, his son, all his sons were killed.
Except for one.
The grandson.
Is that the grandson or the son? I know it was the baby
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, I think it was
Jonathan's boy.
Son that was injured. But he sat at the table of King David. Because that was keeping his promise to Jonathan.
I wonder why they were cutting heads off. Mm-hmm.
If that just
and you know they
important reference to why some heads got cut off.
Well, you know, David cut off Goliath's head.
Right. And that's what I was saying. You know, when he did, that's what made me think. I said that was the end of, you know, Goliath reigning, you know. He destroyed him, so it wasn't going to be another Goliath.
Hmm. Well.
And then, like, Saul, you know, Saul head got cut off. Because if you look at the history of the kings in Israel, everybody who went to battle, everybody didn't get their head cut off.
Right.
You know, by their enemy.
Yeah, that's something.
Something one that I thought was interesting, you know. And then you look at, because they did so much of, you know, wickedness.
Yeah, because and then it make them know who was in charge now, too. You know who was
mm-hmm.
being over everything. That's how I feel
mm-hmm.
because they didn't bring their head back. See, they wouldn't even believe it. They have all kind of fables out. Because who was that challenged David? Was it Saul?
Yeah.
He challenged David when David told him that he was going to kill Goliath. He said, bring his head back. I think that's what he said. Then mm-hmm. he cut his head off and brought it, took it to Saul. Because, and that was right there. That's when I felt like God knew that David was going to be king. That's what I felt like. Because mm-hmm. he wasn't afraid. You know, he was the keeper over the sheep. You know, and I felt like God was keeping David preserved for a reason. And that he let him, he allowed him to keep the sheep so he would know how to keep his people. Because, you know, when sheep, you know, you don't beat them and stuff and push them and all that. You just have to make sure guide them back to where they're supposed to go. And then David mm-hmm. had said he had killed wolves and everything else trying to get to the sheep. And so I know the father was saying, well, he'll make a good a king or a person or a shepherd over my sheep. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then he was so anointed that Saul had to get him. Every time that demon came, that spirit came, he had to get David to play that harp prophetically, because that had to be what it was. He was playing it prophetically, mm-hmm. and that's what would calm his spirit down. But then mm-hmm. that spirit, and then I don't believe it was just Saul. I believe it was the spirit that was in Saul that didn't care for David, because that was Jonathan's best friend. Why did he not? His dad, like David, and then he was really trying to like him, but that spirit that was in him would turn again and want to kill David.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that's, now I haven't did an extensive research on that, but I think I am. But I had some commentary just on David and. You know, somebody got those, but I will do it, because it's very important, because Jesus came down through that lineage.
Yeah.
See, I even think I don't know about Saul though. I don't know was Jesus down through Saul's lineage. I don't think he had no parts. It was David. I know it was David, but. Saul
came through the tribe of Benjamin.
Yeah, sure did. He sure did. And he lived in Bethlehem, though. Saul did.
Mm-hmm.
But David, that's when Jesus came down through that lineage. So it was important that David was in the place that he was in the position he was in, because the way Saul was going, he wasn't going to be in that position. But God had already told Samuel to anoint him as king. He just wasn't in that position at that, you know, for a minute. I guess he was just respecting Saul, and I know he loved mm-hmm. Saul as king, and he didn't want to disrespect Saul.
Mm-hmm. And the prophet,
well, it was good.
Me going back on Jacob when he was blessing his sons, and he took each tribe and he described what their tribe was going to be. And I go back to Benjamin when he talked about Benjamin and how Benjamin was going to be a wild,
mm-hmm.
you know, wild tribe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to be men who, you know, war. I think I might be wrong, but I'm going to have to go back and look at what he said about Benjamin. But it reminds me of Saul.
What's
your opinion?
Okay. Okay, we're in First Chronicles, I think 10 and 11, but we're talking about David and Saul. Go ahead, Mimi. prophetess.
Okay, and I read a little bit of it, and just listened to you, young ladies, and what stuck out to me more was that how David went on just to, you know, how he became great. That's what really stuck out to me, and David knew greatness, but he by no means, it was an overnight success. You know what I'm saying? Like, it took a long time. See, people think you can jump into something and think that it's going to happen tomorrow because you feel it in your spirit today. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I do believe that David, he was long to me prepared for the greatness that he later enjoyed. You get what I'm saying? He came to me to the place of greatness because the Lord was with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, most of us step outside. Like, God will actually give us something and put our soul and our spirit and our minds and our heart on something, and then we can just take off and forget who got us there. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and step out of God's plan. And in God's plan, there is almost always a hidden price of greatness. It's a hidden price of greatness. You know, often those who become great amongst God, people experience much pain and difficulties in God's training process. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, God gotta, he gotta mold you. So it's a process. That means you gotta hold on. And I'm talking about when you know it's pain, you know you are treasure. That means you got to be, you know, holding on to God's unchanging hand because it's going to change. You get what I'm saying? It's going to change. So I really do love how, you know, it didn't, his greatness didn't, you know, come overnight. So that really inspired me to hold on to God's unchanging hand, and it just, you know, really keeps me rooted and grounded into knowing that if David could do it, you get what I'm saying? I know he ain't gonna leave me, so I ain't gonna fall by the wayside, you know.
Right.
So I mean, I just thank God for that little revelation from these chapters, you know.
Yeah, it's good. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, amen. Like you said, it's a process. It's not an overnight thing. You know, and all doing this when he was a shepherd, he leaned on God. He knew God was his protector. God gave him the strength to kill the lion. Was it a lion and a bear? You know, when he was born in the sea. But he knew where his strength came from. He knew how he was able to do all that.
Where that help came from.
He never left that. What did he say when he went to attack Goliath? He said, "Who are you to defy the armies of Israel?"
That's right.
You know, he stood bold, but he knew his strength. He knew he was going to kill Goliath that day because he knew God had him. And he used what? The stone? What? It really took one. You know, Goliath.
Well, that's
so
what
he
was.
He never left that. See, God forgot. But God already knew. God gave Israel what they wanted. But he already knew who he wanted in that place because he knew where he was going to have what bloodline Jesus was coming through, the tribe of Judah. But God was like, God would give you what you want. But when it all boils down, it's still going to go through what he wants, how he wants things to be done. But he's going to let you see, okay, my way is the best way. My plan is the best plan. I'm going to let you go ahead and have your plan, and I'm going to show you. No, you need to turn over. You need to turn everything over to me. My way is the best way.
All right. Yes, ma'am. It sure is. That's good. Y'all doing good. Talking about David. That was good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed David. Just Psalms. He didn't write all of them, but most of them he did write. I enjoyed them. I enjoy reading them. Mm-hmm. And even over in Samuel, you know, about David. You know, it's who you would want to be like. Mm-hmm. If you was in that day, you would want to be like David. Mm-hmm. So
Sister was saying that his greatness, David never forgot where his greatness came from. That's why the throne stayed with David, because he was a man after God's own heart. God could trust that. Even though David, we know how much of dysfunction David had in him, but what God did, he looked at their heart. Like, man, they look on the outside, just like when Saul came. He was looking at the appearance. He was looking at all of Jesse's sons. Oh, one of these got to be what God want me to come to anoint. But when he said, God said, nope, none of them. He said, ask him about his other son. And he brought him in. That wasn't what David, you know, Samuel was looking at. Are you sure this is who you want me to anoint? Because Samuel was looking through cardinal eyes, you know, or cardinal eyes look at what you look like, what you got, you know. God doesn't look at that. God look at your heart. It's all about the heart. What kind of heart you got? What's inside that heart? Is that heart going to be where I can trust it? It's going to lead. I mean, it's going to obey me.
That's right. Well, he was a great man of God, and it's not like he didn't sin, though. We got to keep that in mind. He wasn't perfect. He had greatness. He was a great man of God. But God, the word of God said, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And David did that several times, you know, so we can't boost him up too much. But we, you know, like I said, he was a great man. He was a great man of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was. And thank God for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any more comments or questions before we go?
I would like to interject. I heard you all, and please forgive me, I'm late, I'm just getting off of prayer, but you were all talking about David, right? But I just wanted to know what was mentioned about Saul in Second Chronicles. What do we say about Saul? Did we make anything trajectories around that?
Well, the question was how were Saul and his sons killed, and then they asked, what did the Philistine do with the bodies of Saul and his son? Well, they cut the head off and hung it up, and we was just trying to really think about why do they cut their heads off after they kill them? What makes them, what is the symbolic of them cutting their heads off like that? But David cut Goliath's head off like that. I don't know. I tried to just do a little research on it, didn't come up.
I had asked that question. My thing was, you know, through history of the king, you know, everybody didn't get their head cut off. And I was wondering, what does that symbolize when people cut off, you know, like a king head or like an enemy of another country, and they take it and they mount it? And I just thought about, does that mean that's the end of their reign, you know, in their bloodline? You know, and I just look at Saul, you know, his head was all his sons, you know, his sons were killed in battle with him. And the Philistines went and they cut his head off. And I don't know, and it's just coming to me now, because that's what David did to Goliath. So maybe that's another scenario. Maybe that's why they cut his head off. But I was thinking, because, you know, he was a king, and they cut his head off to parade him around to say victory, but also to cut out his bloodline, that there will be no more princes that come to king in the line of Saul.
Yeah,
there was still one more.
His dynasty.
Yeah. No, that's really good. I like that. Anybody ever seen, I'm going to go back a little bit. Anybody ever seen the movie by the name of Predator?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Have anybody seen the movie called The Predator?
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay, cool. It's one of my all-time high favorite movies with Arnold Schwarzenegger, a couple other people. So now I'm trying to give you a reality glimpse of why they do it. Now, these were predators that would actually, they were put in a jungle. Real people were put in a jungle, and they didn't know how they got there. They didn't know nothing. They just appeared there. They didn't know that this was actually a part of a game, that other space creatures would come to Earth to play. So they didn't know that they was really playing hide and go seek. Now, if you understand that when the predator would come out and he would destroy people, the thing that he would do the most was he would rip their heads off, and then he would disattach or decapitate their heads and leave them up, right? Now, that seems strange, and they didn't understand why they did it. Let me tell you why they did it. They did it, there's two reasons. One, the reason why the old did it back in the history, back in those days, is that they did it for executional style. Now, when David did it, he did it for two reasons. He did it because of the law of God, which was to execute anybody that's coming against God's people. And the second reason, and why the predator did it, was the second reason why David did it, is as a trophy. So they would use the skeleton, the head as a skeletor, a hole in the skull, and use the head to show them of all the kings, of all the great, they're supposed to be the great fighters, the great people, they would spike them. Make sense? Hopefully it does.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why they would head them, because it was a trophy to them.
A trophy, okay.
Yeah. So it was a game, nothing but a big old game.
Okay, well, that's good.
So that's why the decapitation of the head. Now, it's funny because you would think they would need the torso. You would think that they would need the rest of the body. But the crown is where a lot of our power is.
Mm-hmm. So
they would take the head and they would, the shape of the head would show, okay, oh, this is king such and such. That's king such and such. And guess what? One thing that, and I'm going to deal with this, talking about our dear brother by the name of King Saul. King Saul wanted to be killed because he didn't want them to take his life. He felt as if he was too anointed, he was too powerful, he was too glory to allow heathen to take his life. Y'all remember Elijah ran, he outran the chariot because he didn't want the queen Bathsheba to take his life. So he fled for his life.
Right.
And then the Bible says that he asked God to take his life, because he don't want Bathsheba to do it. And Ahab, y'all remember that story?
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got, so he was, these men were doing it out of fear. The Bible says that as Saul went in and his servant did not, he wanted his own servant to kill him. Now, the reason being is because he was already unto death. The Bible said that the archer are the arrows. They were arrow men. They didn't get close to Saul. They couldn't. they ran. Remember, the Bible said that they fled into the mountain. They fled from him. And they were throwing arrows at Saul. And Saul got hit so many times, he only knew that he was about to die. So picture being in agony and telling your man to kill you, and he won't even kill you because he loves you and he respects you. The Bible says, while the man turned around to defend because they're coming, the Bible said that Saul took out his own sword and thrust himself and killed himself. And the Bible says, because out of fear, his own armor bearer thought that his king was dead. The Bible said that he thrust himself with his own sword because I fear to die by somebody else's hand. There's two things that I want you to take from it because this is important. Now, David is not involved. David's not around. David's not there because if the glory would have been there, they would have never lost.
Right.
Why would you go into battle when you don't have glory?
Mm-hmm.
One thing, he should have never went into battle without glory, but because he was just too stubborn.
Yes, prideful, thinking he was gotten.
He was stubborn, and when they cut the head of a king off, when they cut the head of the king off to show his head and to play with it, because you got to realize, after they cut the head, they kick it. It's a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing now. Now we're just going to spike it. Which means they come from underneath the jaw. That's what they did to Saul. I mean, not Saul, but Goliath. They spiked his head.
Okay?
But now they're putting his head. Now, they didn't worry about the armor bearer. They just worried about that we had the king. We killed the king, the Philistine. Now, let me say this. Go ahead. Somebody going to say something?
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, I'm about done. Now, you got to realize, too, that the Amalekites was a part of this invasion. And the Agites was a part of this invasion.
Yeah.
Now, if you realize that I don't care how bad the people of God will ever get. God will always revenge us. I don't care how bad we get out of line. I don't care if we leave the church. I don't care if we start drinking, smoking, whatever, partying. If we're in the will of God, guess what? God will get somebody for harming us. He will turn around. Now, it may take him a while, but he's going to get them. And the Bible says that if you read carefully in the book of Ruth, that before the book of Ruth, that there was something that Joshua, in the book of histories with Joshua and Moses, that the Amalekites and the Agites, that God destroyed them for killing Saul. See, most people don't look at it like that, but God revenged his people. So those that done you wrong, God is going to get ready to get them.
Right.
You see that? So the Bible says that the Lord told Moses to put it in the books, not with Moses, because Moses is about to die. He said, but put it in the books with Joshua so that the word would live on with Joshua, that I destroyed those that killed Saul. Even though God was only with Saul for 2 years, because he was anointed for 2 years, I still wasn't supposed to touch him. I wasn't supposed to kill him.
Right.
That's the thing. You can't touch. Now, the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Touch not my anointed. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to be a prophet to be anointed.
That's
it. I just want to add my little 2 cents. That's it.
That's good. Amen.
Amen. That was good. And it was all good. I just thank and praise the Lord because we haven't been on here in a while. Things been coming up and all of that kind of stuff. But I just thank and praise God that we're getting on through it. And
it's always good to have a bishop to come in and put a cap on it of what we said. It's always good. So, and I thank God for each one of you coming. You know, we just really would like, we had more participation tonight than we have had, and I thank and praise God for that. But, you know, I try to just sit back and let other people talk, because that's what I should, you know, that's good, because we all need to learn. And if you just get in there, there's no wrong answers. You just say what you feel and how you feel. I don't know why people shy away from teaching, but that we should always try to do what we can when it comes to teaching. So I'm going to get ready to close our Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you on tonight for this Bible class. Thank you for each and every one of them, God. Thank you for their comments. Thank you for them, their knowledge that they shared, their wisdom, Lord. We just give you praise and glory tonight, Lord. I ask you to just help us be able to apply this word of whatever we learn to our lives. Lord, I thank you now. I bless your name. We give you glory. We give you praise and all honor. In Jesus' name and for your glory, amen, amen, amen. You all are dismissed, and I will be on in the morning by the grace of God. And let me never not happen. I'll be on in the morning. God bless you all. Have a good night. I love you.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.